come up unexpectedly in life, and we have to deal with them as they go along. And there's a lot of times people are troubled by different things we don't understand. And it happens to us here, and it happens everywhere. And God is with us, and he has his purposes. And so I'm sorry about the disruption and things that happened earlier, but we're taught in the Bible to have compassion and to have love, and this is one of those times where we practice it and we draw upon the things that God wants us to learn. And so we gladly do that together. Very happy today for all of those who are participating in this service to make it happen. We pray before each service and pray for each other and for the participants, the people who are playing music and doing AV and reading scripture, leading the service, praying, downstairs, greeting people, all of these things, right? We all participate together to pray for one another, to have God bless us. And so we're very grateful. I'm very grateful for each one who has been participating today and helping this service to be a blessing, and for God to give us such a richness of unity and of servanthood and of togetherness. Amen? Amen. So we're looking at this scripture today, and the scripture is giving this revival in the Holy Spirit feeling, right? This revival. I don't know about you, but today was another case where you look at the news and you start to think, you know, how could things get any worse? And somehow they just do. There was a shooting in Buffalo, 13 people or so shot. The reason for it is hatred. It seems that it was another case of someone shooting. And so we don't need to really think very hard about the problems that are facing our country. We basically live in a country where people are killing each other all the time. It's not a war. It's just people killing each other. And we are able to relate to what we're looking at in Ezekiel very well, because we're in deep trouble. Our society is in deep trouble. And people are trying to find more and more obscure and perverse ways to better the world, and urging us to change things, make it more agreeable so that everybody can do what they want. That reminds us of the words of Judges, where people did whatever they wanted. Right? When you read the Bible, you don't read the Bible with this feeling, okay, I'm reading this old book that is filled with a bunch of old stories that don't relate. It's filled with stories that relate, we can relate to every day. And that's the power of God. Unfortunately, a lot of the Bible is dealing with the sin in the world, that God has come and has brought hope into a situation and tried with all of his might, sending prophets, whatever means, and finally his own son, so that the world would not die but live. And so we're living in this kind of a state today, and it's very sobering. We are very excited about our faith. We're excited about the sisters' fellowship today. We're excited about being here. And so we want today to remember that excitement. Okay? Things happen in life, but God, and through his son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit, revives us. Right? Have you ever had a day where you just felt like, you know, it's not going right? There's so many things going wrong, you can't figure it out, and you're thinking, I can't wait to get to bed so I can just put an end to this day and get up tomorrow and hopefully things will be better, you know? But the Bible tells us that that is possible through God, that it isn't that we need to go to bed and wake up today, but that God ministers to us and it's never leaving us day and night. Steve, just don't worry about the screen. It's really not a problem. So let's take a look at this from the beginning of this chapter, okay? The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel is speaking. He brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. Can you imagine anything worse, right? To be taken by God, you're this man of God who is going to people and pleading for them to be revived, to be following God, to put away their sins, to turn to him, stop with all of their sinfulness. And God takes him and he puts him down in the middle of a valley full of bones. He's thinking, what is going on here? Right? As I went through this whole book of Ezekiel this week and I read through it, it's just an amazing, arduous chore of reading through how people do not listen. They don't look to God. They're his people. And in the book of Ezekiel, you read things like this. You people have been going to peoples of other nations who worship gods that are made with human hands. And you're worse than they are now. If I were to compare, and I'm comparing you, you are worse than they are. You've gotten into this idol worship thing and all these different things that they're doing, and you're exceeding their expectations of sinfulness. That's what the people of God have done. And then he says, I don't want to put an end to you. I don't want you to die. Really, you could just read it in the book of Ezekiel. I don't want you to die. I want you to live. I really want you to thrive. I want you to have this sense of security and being alive in the goodness of the world and bringing good about. But you have chosen another way. You have chosen another path. You have gone into these other places and you have begun to outdo them in your wickedness. And this is what Ezekiel has to face when he comes in there. Can you imagine how lonely that must be? Right? He goes to these people and says to them, God is going to punish you. And they're looking at him and they're just thinking, what? Get out of here. You know, get lost. They're in big trouble, right? But God takes them, it takes this point, and this is all set up through the chapters leading up to this point. And Ezekiel is brought by God to this place where it's full of bones. He led me around among them, and behold, there are very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. Okay, so these are bones. Bones, okay? Think about your bones, right? And they're dry. They're very dry. They've been there for a while. There's no life in them at all. That's what this dryness is. Okay. And he led me around, and behold, there were many on the surface of the valley. They were very dry. And he said to me this, Son of man, can these bones live? Now think about that question for a moment. This is a very important part of this scripture. Can these bones live? Look at them. They're dry. Bones. There's nothing around them. There's just a bunch of bones. Can they live? What do you think? Ezekiel is probably thinking, what do you mean? And his response is a perfect one. He says, Lord God, you know. You know. It's his decision and it's his lesson that he's teaching to him. And so he's full of ears and he's listening to what he says. And so God says, prophesy. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Amen. He goes to a man and he says, you speak to them with my message and say to these bones, just bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. Amen. So that is where he's going, right? With this whole lesson to him. He gives him the most destitute example of deadness that exists. And he says, I can bring life from these. I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And to me, that's the Holy Spirit. Think about Adam. God breathed life into him, into his nostrils. Right? He didn't become alive until God did that, right? And I will lay sinews upon you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. You will know me and you'll know my power. You will know what life is about because I am going to cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. This is a creation going on here, taking dead bones and adding sinew, muscle to it. And it slowly is being formed like that, but it's not ready yet, right? So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound and behold, this is spooky, right? A rattling. The bones are rattling around, right? And the bones came together, bone to its bone. They're attaching and they're forming and they're forming this life and it's slowly coming into being, right? Not just one. But many, as we're going to read. As I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Prophesy to the breath. This is a man who's following what God wants him to do. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. So out of nothing, there's these dead bones all over the place, and he's walking among these dead bones, and God says, can these live? And then he shows them that they can. It's through his power. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore, say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Brothers and sisters, are you today dried up and without hope? God wants to ask you, can these bones live? Today we're living in a world where people are redesigning human life. My mother told me, I remember this very distinctly, that God is going to end the world when mankind begins to play God and try to bring life into being by themselves. Right? My mother said that to me. Many, many years ago, she said many things to me. And we're living in a world today where people are trying to do that, right? We're living in a world where people are saying, I can do what I want. I can do what I want. No one's going to tell me what to do, especially not God. I read an article in the New York Times last week where the guy said, the answer that we need today is get rid of God. Get rid of him. We've had enough of this God who is telling us that there's going to be wrath, that there's going to be death to those and punishment for those. Is that a loving God? So that is the world that we live in today. On the front page of the New York Times, we have someone who is having his article printed. Get rid of God, and that is the way that we can live, right? So that's the message that we're getting here. We have the message of people saying, I can tell who I am. I can tell you what sex I am. I can change my sex. We have doctors who are performing these kind of surgeries, right? Just change that, and you'll be happy. Then you can be who you think you are. We have it on the forms that we fill out for taxes. We have forms that are for schools, for your children. Don't dare, don't put down, you know, whether you're male or female. This tells a different story. God gives life. And it's a meaningful life. And it's a created life. And it's his doing. He is the one who takes the bones and he creates a human being from that. And he breathes life into them. That is the God that we worship and we obey. God is a very understanding God. And so we have understanding that the world is askew. It is very, very hard right now. Because we are being told that if you don't do this, right? If you don't do this, then people are going to be ruined. And it takes a lot of wisdom. It takes a lot of care. It takes a lot of involvement. But I believe more than anything else, it takes the word of God to let people know what is going on and what we're talking about here. Ezekiel went to people and they ignored him. Right? But even in those moments, God came with this message of hope for them and said, this is what I want for these people who have turned away from me and are doing whatever they want. I want something good for them. Tell them that these bones could be made alive, that they are dead. The whole house of Israel, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We're cut off. God has allowed them to be taken into exile, but tell them, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves of my people, and I bring you into the land. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves of my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. So he gives them this incredible direction there. In their lives, right? He gives them this incredible hope and saying, I can take your dead state that you're saying you're without hope here, but I have not left you and I will save you. And brothers and sisters, this points very clearly in the direction of another one that was called, right? To bring life out of death, right? And that is, of course, Jesus, our Savior, right? But it's important that we don't just think of Israel here today. I know that God was talking to Israel there, and it's true. He was talking to Israel. But when we see those bones, we really need to see the state that we're in without God. This illustration, people are telling me all the time, use an illustration when you preach. Here's an illustration. Bones lying in a field. Dry bones, zero hope, zero life. There's no sense of resuscitation, bringing them back. That's the state that we're in without God. And so God takes that kind of a state through his son, Jesus. And you and I are those bones, and he comes and he says, I'm going to die the death you deserve. And I'm going to do it so that you can see me come back to life. And with that new life in my resurrection, you will have that life. Your bones, your dry bones will be made into a new creation. And it's for me that you will serve. You will serve me as creatures of me. We just had a baptism. It was the same kind of an idea that a person goes into the grave through the water, under the water, and comes up a new person, a new creation, right? And that is what God does. He takes us and he revives us. He takes the dead bones and he makes them alive, right? Over and over, right? So the last part of these verses here, Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will open your graves and raise you up from your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I am the Lord, I have spoken. That is what God is saying to us today in our church, right? We have to be alive. If we are acting like we are dead, then we have not fully understood the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your bones, man, and my bones together, all of us need to rattle in the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. It isn't through us trying to put our minds together and trying to say that we can do these things together somehow and make it work. We need the Holy Spirit to come in and to grip us and to bring that life into us. And man, all you need to do is listen to Charles Spurgeon and what he said that night. You are miserable, and until you know Christ, you will remain miserable. And that may not be the kind of message that people want to hear today, but that is the message. And we are responsible for each other. We're responsible for people in this world. We are responsible as witnesses of Jesus Christ. And so whatever it does, whatever it takes, God is saying to you today, I am going to come into your life and rattle you up and bring you to this place so that you can serve me. And it's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you your life, because you're living in a world where people are very evil. And people are very, very quick to turn on others who come with these kind of words for them. That's the sign of evilness. To reject a God who comes in love and says, you are dead in your sins and I'm going to help you and bring you into life. And not only life here on earth, but into eternity. That is the kind of God that we have, right? And so, brothers and sisters, I want to say to you today that we need to wake up in our church. There's been far too much energy being extended to try to draw people to church. There have been far too much effort being spent trying to get people to see that God is important. And it's really important for us to understand that God will not be mocked. These were his people. Okay, we need to take it to heart. We need to do that. I need to take that to heart, right? But the Holy Spirit is here to empower us, to give us strength, to give us life where there once was no life. But please take a look at yourself today, okay? Take a look at yourself. Where do you stand with God, right? Where do you stand with him? Do you see what God has already done today to bring a message in that was planned for somewhere else, and he removes it and he brings it into a message? You may think that might just be a small thing, but it's a huge thing to me. It refocuses me from saying, okay, it's going to be used in this kind of a context, and it opens it up for children to hear what God wants for them to hear. Right? God comes into our lives and he gives us hope. He gives us help. He gives us encouragement, right? How do we react to it? How do we respond to love, right? We respond by embracing it, by saying, Lord, you are so good. I love you, Lord, right? Amen? So I'm talking about, it's what my daughter says, what I'm talking about, right? We can't be quiet. We have banners here. They lie there untouched, you know? Come on, you know? Don't you have a child within you? Don't you have the excitement of being a Christian to say, I'm going to grab one and wave it around? I mean, and not care, but what can't you do it now? I mean, are we going to just listen to me like Spurgeon did and just say, okay, well, I'm going to go home now in the snow and forget? You know, but he's teaching us these things so that we wake up. Because 13 people were killed in Buffalo this morning. I take that personally. It's a human life. And there's a lot of hatred going around. I take that personally. Right? And churches have so many things they want to do. All of us belong in a prayer meeting every week. Every one of us belongs in a Bible study together to pray. You know why? Because 13 people died in Buffalo. And it's going to be happening in New Jersey soon. And it's happening across the river in New York. And people are dying. We're very short-sighted. We think about what we're going to be doing in a month, right? We think about, okay, what am I going to be doing? How am I going to earn my living? Where am I going to go to school? We do those kind of things. I'm sorry, that's not enough. It needs to include God. Right? It needs to include God. God is there. He's waiting. He's saying, look at me and be saved. Right? But people need to wake up. We all need to wake up. We need to say, people, there's a God who loves you. Jesus Christ, look at my life. Right? Next week we have a testimonial concert going on that is going to be sharing what God has done in our story. What's your story? How can you begin to plan and plan, really plan? What are you going to do now so that you can tell your story to people? This church, people have told me this church is not being used enough. Use it. Make a plan. Come, devise a plan. Tell us you're going to be here and you're going to do something here so that people will hear the gospel. Right? Great ideas. So do it. It's very quiet, right? Very quiet place. Walk by, you know, you can just, it's not being used, so use it. Act upon it. Act upon what God is putting on your heart. Is he doing something in your life? Right? Do you have people that you care about, that you feel are lost? Do something. Tell them about it. Tell them to look at Jesus. You have a gift for music? Start to use it. You got a gift for art? Start to use it. You have a gift for dance? Start to use it. Right? You have an interest in sports? Start to use it. Right? It's all waiting. Right? It's all waiting for you to do what God has been waiting for you to do. Right? This whole emphasis here is that God has been waiting and he said, I've done all these things. I've done everything that I needed to do. And now it's up to you. I'm using you as I used Ezekiel to be my witnesses. Be my witnesses. What can you do? Right? And I'm looking at a bunch of really creative people here and I'm very excited about it. Because every single one of you sitting here today and the people at home on Zoom possess what God has given to you so that you can make a difference in the world for him. Take it personally. Take it personally when people chop off their organs so they can become an opposite gender. Stick up for them. Don't be quiet anymore, right? Get involved. Show that you are a child of God and let people know about it. Amen. The Holy Spirit is here to help us and to equip us and to encourage us to do these things. It isn't just so that we can be happier or that we can just be, you know, less sad or that we can feel confident about our own life. It's to equip us so that we will become ambassadors for Christ, so that we will be his witnesses. Right? And that's what God is calling us to do in this world. Let me just tell you one thing. We're going to go into communion now. It says in verse 4 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That deserves applause, everybody, okay? You know, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, right? Engage in the word of God. Respond, you know? Respond, do something. Give him praise, right? This is what we're here for, is to show that we are not just showing up so that we can praise him quietly. It is time to make noise. The rattling of bones, the rattling of bones forming together and coming. Do you understand what happened when Jesus came out of the grave? And that's happening to us because we have him as our Savior, that we have come out from the grave and we have risen with him. That is the powerful message here for us today. And so as we come into this time of remembering Christ, right, we're going to sing a responsive song. Please pray with me for the Holy Spirit to come down in power for this service. We're not over yet. The sermon does absolutely nothing. It is the word of God that helps us, right? It is the word of God. That's what Spurgeon was saying. It was that. He didn't hear anything else from the guy when he talked. He just heard the word from God. Look and be saved. Look on me and be saved. Okay, so let's stand together and sing these wonderful words.